Chapter 23 Horcruxes. Harry could feel the Felix Felicis wearing off as he crept back into the castle. The front door had remained unlocked for him, but on the third floor he met Peeves and only narrowly avoided detection by diving sideways through one of his shortcuts. By the time he got up to the portrait of the fat lady and pulled off his invisibility cloak, he was not surprised to find her in a most unhelpful mood.
"What sort of time do you call this?"
"I'm really sorry. I had to go out for something important."
"Well, the password changed at midnight, so you'll just have to sleep in the corridor, won't you?"
"You're joking," said Harry. "Why did it have to change at midnight?"
"That's the way it is," said the fat lady. "If you're angry, go and take it up with the headmaster. He's the one who's tightened security."
"Fantastic," said Harry bitterly, looking around at the hard floor. "Really brilliant, yeah. I would go and take it up with Dumbledore if he was here, because he's the one who wanted me to..."
"He is here," said a voice behind Harry. "Professor Dumbledore returned to the school an hour ago."
Nearly headless Nick was gliding toward Harry, his head wobbling as usual upon his ruff.
"I had it from the bloody Baron who saw him arrive," said Nick. "He appeared, according to the Baron, to be in good spirits, though a little tired, of course."
"Where is he?" said Harry, his heart leaping.
"Oh, groaning and clanking up on the astronomy tower is a favourite pastime of his."
"Not the bloody Baron, Dumbledore."
"Oh, in his office," said Nick. "I believe from what the Baron said that he had business to attend to before turning in."
"Yeah, he has," said Harry, excitement blazing in his chest at the prospect of telling Dumbledore he had secured the memory. He wheeled about and sprinted off again, ignoring the fat lady who was calling after him.
"Come back, all right, I lied. I was annoyed you woke me up. The password's still tapeworm."
But Harry was already hurtling back along the corridor, and within minutes he was saying toffee eclairs to Dumbledore's gargoyle, which leapt aside, permitting Harry entrance onto the spiral staircase.
"Enter,"
said Dumbledore when Harry knocked. He sounded exhausted. Harry pushed open the door. There was Dumbledore's office, looking the same as ever, but with black star-strewn skies beyond the windows.
"Good gracious, Harry," said Dumbledore in surprise. "To what do I owe this very late pleasure?"
"Sir, I've got it. I've got the memory from Slughorn." Harry pulled out the tiny glass bottle and showed it to Dumbledore. For a moment or two, the headmaster looked stunned. Then his face split in a wide smile.
"Harry, this is spectacular news. Very well done indeed. I knew you could do it."
All thought of the lateness of the hour apparently forgotten, he hurried around his desk, took the bottle with Slughorn's memory in his uninjured hand, and strode over to the cabinet where he kept the pensive.
"And now," said Dumbledore, placing the stone basin upon his desk and emptying the contents of the bottle into it. "Now, at last, we shall see. Harry, quickly."
Harry bowed obediently over the pensive and felt his feet leave the office floor. Once again he fell through darkness and landed in Horace Slughorn's office many years before. There was the much younger Slughorn with his thick, shiny straw-coloured hair and his gingery blonde moustache, sitting again in the comfortable winged armchair in his office, his feet resting upon a velvet puff, a small glass of wine in one hand, the other rummaging in a box of crystallized pineapple. And there were the half-dozen teenage boys sitting around Slughorn, with Tom Riddle in the midst of them, Marvolo's gold and black ring gleaming on his finger. Dumbledore landed beside Harry, just as Riddle asked,
"Sir, is it true that Professor Merrythought is retiring?"
Tom, if I knew, I couldn't tell you," said Slughorn, wagging his finger reprovingly at Riddle, though winking at the same time. "I must say, I'd like to know where you get your information, boy. More knowledgeable than half the staff you are."
Riddle smiled. The other boys laughed and cast him admiring looks.
"What with your uncanny ability to know things you shouldn't, and your careful flattery of the people who matter. Thank you for the pineapple, by the way. You're quite right. It is my favourite."
Several of the boys tittered again.
"I confidently expect you to rise to Minister of Magic within 20 years. 15 if you keep sending me pineapple. I have excellent contacts at the Ministry."